Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of anything related to Amazon FBA, Parallel, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you a very close friend of mine, Ali Babur, who is the chief evangelist at Trellis, which I will say is one of the top solutions out there when it comes to really making sure you can automate your advertising and also your pricing in a profitable way. So the reason why I wanted to bring Ali today is we actually just had an amazing time in Accelerate. I saw his presentation about how you can really leverage, you know, consumer insights. And I thought, man, I really need this guy in my podcast because otherwise my audience is going to miss out on a lot of info. And here he is. So Ali, thank you for coming. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Vincenzo. It's I think our friendship has been in the making and continued for a few years now, and I'm glad we're here, man. It's always nice to see you. I'm always playing where in the world is Vincenzo today?
That's actually funny enough, just for our audience to know, and for you, like, after this podcast I actually need to run to do my luggage because I'm flying to South Korea tomorrow. So
oh, no way.
that's great, man.
How many events do you get into in a year?
Man, I don't know. Like, I lost the count. I think this year maybe already 50 events. Yeah.
50 events. Yeah. If I go to an event and you're not there, I'm at the wrong event. That's kind of what I realized.
So, man, let's start with a quick intro by yourself, because you have such a, you know, great background in the e-commerce space, and you have brought so much knowledge and value to the community. So tell us, who is Ali, why people should listen to you, and then let's dive into the topic.
Yeah, happy to. So my name is Ali, chief evangelist at Trellis. Prior to this, I used to run an agency. We were product development, marketing, all within the e-commerce space. It's tons of fun. It's the journey to which you take to be in the position we're in today. I know if I asked you, Vincenzo, would you expect to be sitting here right now as founder and CEO of eComsy? Probably not. It's always one of those things where does life take us? And I know this is why we're friends, right? Like, what's the impact that we can make? And what are the opportunities allow us to make that impact? And so a lot of what you do, and I know this to be true, and a lot of what I do, is that how do we help brands, how do we help agencies, how do we help organizations in the e-commerce space or as a whole figure out their next steps, unlock their problems? And if we have knowledge, it's useless if it's not shared.
Yes, so, I agree. I think we had this conversation before going live, like, a lot of the decisions we make, and I see it all the time. It's not, they are not always driven by money. It's also about the impact and the legacy we can leave in the industry. Because I agree, like, what's the point of saying you're successful from a monetary point of view, but then on the other side, you never really give anything back to the community that actually allow you to be where you are right now. So yeah, it has to be both ways. You know? Yeah.
That's it, right? Like, if you think about it, we oftentimes people look at money as the outcome, money as like the goal, right?
Yeah.
But money really is a byproduct, right? It's an outcome of doing good work or of making impact or of providing value, right? If you do X, then you get money. And so the relationship we have with that and people chasing these as part of their goals is flawed, right? Like, find your happiness, find the way that you provide value, and everything else will come.
Yes. And, you know, I agree.
And that goes true to even a lot of what I talked about with AMC and Shopper Insights, right? Yeah. Are you providing value? Are you getting repeat customers? And if you are, then your products are what people want, then yeah, you'll win, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why I wanted to have this episode, because I feel a lot of people, when they do business on Amazon, their main focus is only to focus on that single transaction, and that's it. Like, oh, I just want to make a sale out of a consumer, and then they focus into the next one. When in reality, that's one of the ways that you're actually going to lose the most money. Why? Because the customer acquisition cost effectively in most categories is high. And if you have to pretty much acquire a new customer every single time you want to do a new sell, like, it's difficult to scale the business. So you gave a very good, you know, a breakdown of the strategy of how I actually increase the lifetime value of my clients and then make sure based on their insights, I can retarget similar people, right? So I guess let's start with that. Like, why do you think it's so important to really define the right audience? Because I talk to a lot of Amazon sellers and they still have that fixed mindset. Oh, the only way to go is target keywords. Don't focus on audiences. Focus on that single conversion, then move into the next one. But we know that the days of only doing business with that approach are coming to an end, and it's why most people lose money. So, yeah, what is your take on that?
That's entirely it. Like, the way that worked for us till I'd say even today, and it still works a little bit, but it has limitations, and we're seeing diminishing returns, right? Like, I did, when I asked this question, when I went up on stage and I said, and I put up a slide that showed profit going down year over year for the last 5 years. And I asked the group, there was about, I don't even know how many people were there actually.
I got 100 people, yeah.
Yeah, there was a few hundred people there. And it was like, the question I asked was, well, how many people's brands does this ring true for? So how many people are facing profit going down year over year? And pretty much everybody put their hand up, right? Yeah. So it's like, so if we know that what we're doing is contributing to us decreasing our profit year over year, right? And sufficiently, it's the same playbooks, right? It's that the playbooks that you run to grow on Amazon are the ones I run, the ones we've learned from all the YouTube videos and podcasts and everything in between up to this point, we're all learned the same knowledge. We're all working off the same thing. So we're doing the same stuff that everyone else is. And then what ends up happening is that we all just start losing money, right? We're fighting for the same profit. We're fighting for the same rank. Like, we're fighting for the same conversions, right? And then the question starts, and then you start thinking, well, what can we really do, right? And that's why we're talking right now. It's like, well, if we do more of the same, then we're going to lose, right? Getting a sale, are you trying to get a sale or are you trying to convert someone into your brand? And that's the first decision you have to make.
Yeah, I think whenever we see successful brands, like, we see it's all about how I make customers to become loyal to me, right? A quick example is like Apple, you know, it's like every single year they release a new iPhone, which, let's be honest, you don't need a new iPhone every year, but still, because you love the brand and you love the vision behind the brand, you end up buying the products anyway and all the accessories and the whole ecosystem they have created. And I have seen so many brands in Amazon being able to achieve that, like, for even Anchor, for example. And, you know, when you start creating that ecosystem where client goes from a single point of contact to then enter your universe and buy multiple products or buy on a recurring basis, you pretty much dilute that customer acquisition cost, which is very high, and then it's pure profit. You don't even have to pay for ads because they come by themselves, right? So I guess that's where MC is super powerful, because it allows you to really understand how to leverage this. But I think at the same time, a lot of people don't even know what is AMC, right? So I guess we can just start with a quick intro about what is AMC, you know, for people to understand it. And then we can dive a little bit deeper. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think we'll get into the AMC side. But I think what you said there ring true, where it's like, if I can get someone in, right, that's the goal, right? If I can decrease my customer acquisition cost, right, that if we're focused on that first sale, then the second and third sale, we don't care about that, but we should, right? That if I'm just keep going after new to brand customers, I'm playing top of search placements, right? It's expensive to play that game, right? But if I can't get them to make another sale, if I can't get them to make another three sales, then I'm really leaving money on the table as a result of that, right? That my philosophy needs to shift. And if you aren't thinking about that yet, then you run the profit problem that you've had for the last 5 years and it going down, then this is the solution, right? It's, how do I increase the loyalty of my customers? How do I increase the lifetime value of my customers, right? And you gave the example of Apple. People buy a new phone every year. The LTV for an Apple customer is through the roof, right? Yeah. They just got to get them on one iPhone, and then the rest of the set, they'll get the watch, they'll get the iPad, they'll get the MacBook, and everything plays together. And they've created the stickiness around it, right? That the brand is all about cohesion. The brand's all about elitist, whatever. Well, mind you, I'll never get rid of my iPhone. But it's like it's now it's no longer that I'm seeing an ad to buy an Apple product. I just know the one came out and I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Right. I know.
And at a certain point now, then how do I create that? Because it's not that you have to wait for that. It's not that you have to wait to see if a customer will do it again. You can actually strategize and target that
from the beginning.
Right? From the beginning. Yes. Right. And how you approach those, how you approach the market in that way. And so AMC as a whole, like Amazon Marketing Cloud, is really the ability for you to get your own playbook, right? And create your own. And what I mean by that is for you to be able to take all of the data that you have around shoppers anonymized, right? It's not like we're going to own our customer by any means. This is still Amazon, right? But I can associate a customer and towards all that data. So how many ads did they see before they bought? Did they buy once? Did they buy twice? What did they buy? All right. And so it's taking all of your ads data, taking all of your order data, taking everything and applying it with a consumer lens on top of it. So now I have one more variable within this table to sort by. Right. So now I know that and I can aggregate all that, say, hey, tell me all the customers that saw my sponsored product ad, my sponsored brand ad, and my DSP ad, and then they buy, right? And I can create these paths to purchase and understand it.
Yes.
And that's super powerful because what we know to be true is we look at our ACoS, right? If my campaign actually converted for me, then my ACoS will be in a better spot. But what if the campaign, and then there's also the campaign that didn't convert for me, right? Yes. So in that scenario, if my ACoS is at 70% for the sponsored product, sponsored product ad, likely scenario is, Vincenzo, you and I are both going to turn that off.
Yes.
Right? We're going to turn it off. But now with AMC, I can actually see that sponsored product ad play a role. And was that one of the steps they took or one of the ads they saw before they clicked buy after my sponsored brand ad, right? Yes. So now we get into the, instead of what's called, what we look in the Amazon world, it's called last touch attribution, right? That what was the last ad they saw and we'll credit the conversion to that. Now we can start seeing multi-touch attribution, right? Even first touch attribution. What was the first ad they saw that then got them into everything else? And you can start creating a way more compelling storylines and or way more compelling strategies rather, right? So in the example we gave, I wouldn't, if that sponsored product was one of the first things they saw before they saw the sponsored brand, yeah, I'm going to make sure I keep that alive.
Yeah.
Right? Irrespective of its ACoS, it's contributing towards the journey that my customers are taking to buy my product at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. Like I have seen this mistake so many times. In fact, when we do all this and stuff, like people think that sometimes they're in order for them to be more profitable with their campaigns, it's just to kill whichever campaign is spending a lot or not converting the highest. But yeah, sometimes some of these campaigns have a role within the funnel of awareness and touch point that they have to do in order for them to, first of all, discover the brand, then enter into consideration mode, and then get converted into sales. And then it happens a lot. People start killing campaigns. So sometimes, which is even worse, they start killing products that they think they've never been profitable. And therefore, as from a decision-making, you think, yeah, I need to kill this product. But then you don't understand that that product was the lead generator in terms of your brand. That was the low barrier entry for them to then discover the universe of your catalog. And then now you kill that product that was the magnet and you see significant drop in sales. So that's why I agree with you. Decision cannot be done always on profit. They also have to be done from the perspective of the path towards a conversion and making sure that if the end result, which is the overall picture of the brand, is profitable, then that means sometimes keeping unprofitable products and campaigns makes sense, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? So now the conversation has become not which ones are most profitable for me, but which ones are contributing towards the journey that the customer is taking. And now thinking about it to the next level, it's like, well, now I can play a different game because the journey that a customer takes with me is going to be unique to my brand. Mm-hmm. And the journey that a customer takes with another brand is going to be unique to theirs. And all we're doing is incentivizing those. We have, Amazon has the data, we're able to access the data through AMC. Now we can start incentivizing certain paths that we're going to go down. Okay, well, first touch point was sponsored product, second was sponsored brand, third was DSP, and then they eventually bought on another SP ad or an SD ad. Okay, well, that journey I want to actually incentivize. I can know what campaigns, and this is what AMC will tell you, is that which campaigns actually contributed along the way to the purchase. And so I can add more budget to these campaigns. If I know this path is working for me, I'm getting the conversion at the end of the day. I'm no longer looking at the individual ads and their efficiency. I'm looking at the path and the efficiency of that path, right? Mm-hmm. Because I care about that end conversion, and I care about that end conversion when it's minimizing my customer, my customer acquisition cost, my CAC, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the goal. How do I get customers into my brand, new to brand customers, into my catalog, into my e-commerce experience at the lowest possible price?
Yes. Right. I guess another thing that people might be wondering is, like, this sounds amazing and I really want to start implementing this for my business, but sometimes people really don't understand from an execution point of view how this looks like, right? Because, you know, people, I'm sure they've been hearing AMC, DSP, all of that, but people sometimes don't know if this is the right thing for them. Because let's be honest, also there's certain criteria you as a business have to meet to in order for you to leverage this technology. So I guess we can briefly touch on that. Like, is there any specific kind of like must have that you think as a brand you need to check boxes in order for you to leverage this? Yeah.
I think there's two parts, right? It's the same kind of conversation I have around DSP. Like, you shouldn't start with DSP if you're under.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, right? The moment you start looking at like a 30K, 40K in ad spend on a monthly basis, I think that's a good range to start looking at DSP, right? Where you take 10% of that budget, you put 3K towards DSP, right? Mm-hmm. But you need to be winning search on Amazon first. Then you can go after the impressions, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, sponsored product, sponsored brand, sponsored display, and sponsored display is a little bit in the middle there, but SP, SB, SPV, those are all keyword-based ad placements, right? That if someone searches something, then your ad will show up. The impression side is your sponsored display and your VCPMs. And if you don't know what that means, it's just really your cost per impressions. Yep. Right. And then you're on, and then DSP is the other side of the impressions, right? So those are kind of the two forks you can take. And so before you start going after impression based, which is again harder to convert, it's going to cost you a little bit more. You really want to make sure your search and your search placements are being covered effectively and you have good coverage across there. And now you're looking to grow beyond that, right? Like you don't want to build from there. So 30K, 30K, 40K, I think is kind of the minimum threshold from an ad spend perspective. But AMC data, I'd argue the path towards getting it, leveraging a provider, whether it be us or it be somebody else who has access to that data for you, is going to be super valuable, especially if you're in the Google space, right? That you know that your product gets, like, I'll use this example again, and it's a wonderful family. I met them at Accelerate, and they sell honey. And their ability to understand how many times people buy from them again, they had no clue.
Oh yeah,
right. So they couldn't even create the strategy. So AMC, I'd say, as you kind of get more and more data, as you kind of start growing, it makes a lot of sense to start evolving your strategies in that way, right? But new to brand, new entrance into the market. Yeah, get it. Get your sponsored product. Get that honeymoon effect, right? Play that game more than start playing the AMC game because you don't need it yet.
Exactly. And I think another maybe quick insight we can say about AMC is a lot of people only see AMC as a tool to be used towards advertising. But let's be honest, if you know how to dissect this data, you can even use it from a pro development side of things. You can identify gaps into your offerings or things that your brand doesn't offer and leverage that, you know?
And I think the interesting part there is, like, so you mentioned this earlier, but what we call a trellis, the halo effect, right? So what is the number one brand in your product, a number one product in your catalog that drives the most amount of repeat sales across all your other products, right? So now if I know what that is, right? And I'll say it again, because this is kind of a newer concept. If I know the number one product in my catalog that drives the most amount of repeat sales across other products in my catalog, then I can do a lot with that information, right? And AMC can give you all that, this is my halo rank number one, that when people buy this, they're going to buy a whole bunch of other stuff from you and from different products. And then which products they buy after that, which is also super powerful. Now I can create bundles. I can create virtual bundles, because then the goal becomes, if I know they buy product A, and right after they buy product A, they're going to buy product B. Okay, well, I'm just going to group them together now, right? And or even after they buy product C, I'm going to group B and C together, and then removing the ad side of it, creating a product around B and C that we know that A will go after. Because now I'm trying to keep people in my brand from an advertising perspective, from a pricing perspective for sure, but in creating the right bundles or the right kits or the right multi-packs that increase the average order value in which they're paying me, right? That yes. They buy product one for 10 and the next time they buy from me is for $50.
Yes, right? That's right.
We know they like it. So to your point, it's beyond advertising. There isn't a large advertising component towards it. AOC very much exists to give attribution towards DSP, and that's a big part of where it started. But the evolution of it and thinking about the data, to your point, can really help you unlock how you create other products, how you bundle other products, and figure out which products you should actually do a multivariant from. And as you start evolving that, it's no longer a virtual bundle. I'm actually going to ship this into Amazon this way.
Exactly. And I think something I want to start bringing to conversation as well is like the lifetime value of things, because we briefly just touched on that at the beginning. But the reason why I want to make a little bit more emphasis is because I think, as we say, it's an important metric to track, but a lot of people don't even know how to define what is the lifetime value they're looking to achieve out of their clients. Because yeah, you could easily say yes, lifetime value is important, but what actually is the amount I'm looking to get to understand the profitability? So I guess from your experience and what you guys are doing at Trail is like, and everything you guys do with pricing and so on, like, is there a way for a brand to really identify what is the ideal lifetime value I need to get from my client to maybe be profitable or be able to scale? Is there some kind of high level, of course, without this, it's like how you come up with a figure, you know?
Yeah, I think step one is knowing what is your lifetime value today, mm-hmm. right? If you don't even know what that is today, where you want to go.
Most people don't know.
That's the part that we often run into. It's like, well, because I potentially, like, we've had this conversation, I get asked all the time, well, what should my lifetime value be? It's like, well, how good is your brand, right? How good are your products? How much do people care about your brand? And your product market fit becomes really important. But if you start with understanding what is my lifetime value, and then you start running strategies to increase your lifetime value, right? That's kind of the benchmark. Then can you see a 10% increase, a 20% mm-hmm. increase, right? All of these things start becoming apparent where if I know my lifetime value, let's say for a customer is $100, mm-hmm. right? And with that $100, I say, okay, well, they're not really buying other products from my catalog, right? Because we can see all this data, right? We can see all this information. Through AMC. And then I can say, well, they're not really buying, they always buy the same product, but some people buy another product. Some people buy a third product. So why don't I start creating a strategy where I can increase the average order value by creating a multi-pack, right? Run ads and cross-sell on my own PDP page. Say, hey, you like this product. You bought it a couple times before. Why don't you just buy the multi-pack, right? Now I've got them to make a higher purchase, which in turn increases my LTV, right? Then I've also got the repeat purchase, which again increases my LTV while minimizing my CAC at the same time, my customer acquisition cost, right? And all I've done is take my existing customer base and sold to them more, right? And expanded them in my catalog. So could I take that $100 and by giving them this, put it up to 120? Yeah, 115, absolutely, right? Like there's really easy ways and ways that are super logical for us. Like, we're having this conversation, and even while I was giving my talk at you last week, like the few other people in the room, everyone's nodding along. Like, this makes sense. Makes sense. Like, it's all things we know. And so then it just comes down to executing it in that way, but it's a mindset shift, right? It's not, I'm going to bid this on a keyword, I'm going to do this on targets, and I'm going to run it this way. It's no, am I acquiring repeat purchases? Am I increasing average order value? And what's my cost of doing so? So
yes,
to answer your question in short, what is an ideal lifetime value? It's one that you can actually be profitable on.
Exactly. Yes.
And you will consistently make money and you're increasing profit year over year as a result.
I think it's so important because not only that you can be profitable, but I think that you can scale the company. Because I mean, how many brands we know they're profitable, but they stay in the same size for years, right? It's also a way for you to understand your cash flow if you can invest into more research and development, a new advertising strategy, new marketplaces. There are so many things that it can branch out, you know, but without knowing, it's like you don't know what is the path you have to take, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of the two parts, right? Like, what is my lifetime value? What is my customer acquisition cost? And the relationship between those two is really important, right? That's where I start seeing, well, if I know my lifetime value is $100, my customer acquisition cost is 10, right? That's a 10-to-1 ratio. So I have a perspective, and an LTV to CAC, that ratio gives me a perspective as to how profitable I am on that one, right? As my customer retention good or bad, right? Because the closer that is to one, the worse that customer retention is, right? Yep. Is my marketing working efficiently for me? Am I acquiring these people at a cost-effective way, right? And is there growth potential, right? If it's 10-to-1, do I want to pump more ad dollars behind that customer acquisition cost, which is really ad spend, right? Yeah. Do I want to pump more ad dollars? Well, I paid $10 to get a customer who's going to spend $100 with me over the course of the year. Yeah, exactly. Probably. Right.
Exactly.
And yeah. And then I can actually, once I get them in, I can get them to try and spend even more with me after that. Like, yeah, hell yeah. Right. So yeah. LTV to CAC and looking at that on a product level for your entire catalog will really start unlocking for you where your growth potential is and which products are actually driving profitable growth for you and where you can invest. Right. Yes. That I can get them here. This is really efficient for me. I might as well just keep pumping dollars behind this and turn off everything else because I know they'll come into my brand from here, right? And you just changed your whole strategy overnight, but it's to get profit. It's to have profitable growth, right? And yes. So you can't, like, if they're going to spend $100 with me over the lifetime, it costs me $100 to acquire them. Do I want that customer? No, I don't want it at all.
Right. And unfortunately, that's what most people have, is clients that they only focus on single sales. Whatever it costs them, it goes away, and that's why they're never profitable.
Yeah. And so when we start looking at the shopper insights and the AMC and path to purchase, the value of what you can derive from the data within AMC will really unlock the future growth potential of your brand. Because what we're doing today, we know it has limitations, right? For it has limitations. And we all see the limitations, right? And I know you know this. I know you've been a big advocate of AMC for at least the last year or two. We talk about it often, but the kicker here is, and Vincenzo, you tell me this to be true, when you're having conversations with brands that work with you, you're taking them to the new to brand, right? How much are we growing your new to brand? How much are you growing your repeat? And you're having these discussions. How many of them understand?
Yeah, most of them don't even know that you can calculate it, actually.
So, then what becomes the problem then? That you're trying to help them grow. You're trying to help them grow in a way that actually will take their business from today to 10 years from now. Right. Then the other side of it is just fear.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. And I think it's also a mindset shift. I think a lot of people, because you know, they are still in 2014 mindset of selling on Amazon, they still think that, oh, the only way of running an Amazon business is driven on ROAS and ACOS. And it's usually such a tough conversation. Like, yeah, I understand that's how you maybe by luck are where you are, but that's not how you're going to successfully scale in the business. But, you know, sometimes people don't want to see it, you know? Yeah.
ACOS going up or down. Like, I will happily intentionally have ACOS going up for brands that I work with. If I'm acquiring new to brand customers that I can sell to later on. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can get them in on other products. Yeah, okay, it's going to be a little higher for me to get them, higher customer acquisition costs. But over time, that customer acquisition cost will go down because they're buying more from me, right? So to your point, the mind shift is super important. And any brands watching this, agents who watch this, I think the biggest thing to understand and take away is you can't keep thinking about your business the same way because you're still losing money. And so if you want to make money, you have to be a little uncomfortable. If you want to grow profitably, you have to be a little uncomfortable. You have to try new things. And you and I aren't talking about here, hey, try like, you know, this like snake oil that I got from like a random market in Brazil or something like that. It's that here's a bunch of data around your brand and how shoppers engage with your brand and your catalog that you should leverage to grow your business. That's only unique to you. No one else's, just yours. Like it doesn't, you kind of have to at this point.
It's the only way. So, Ali, to start coming to a closure, is there any last tip or maybe like mistake that people should avoid at all costs when starting to implement this strategy in the business? Some like last piece of wisdom from you.
Yeah, I think I'll double down on something I said earlier. To step one is understanding what your LTV is, your customer acquisition cost, and the relationship. Yeah. Step two is getting out of your comfort zone and thinking about the logical path that you can take to increase your new to brand and increase your repeat purchase rate. Right. And there's super simple strategy that you can do towards that. Happy to help. I know you're happy to help, Vincenzo, and I talk about these things all the time. I'm happy to help. But before you to start somewhere is get into AMC, understand your LTV, understand your customer acquisition cost. And from there, start deriving your strategies around pricing and advertising. Right. Yeah. It's not both have to play.
Yeah, which is why I also want to make a quick shout out to Trellis, because I mean, that's what you guys specialize on, and really you can bring this, piece of information is so valuable on the hands of the seller. So tell us a little bit about how people, can work with you guys and how people can reach out to you as well to ask you any questions,
Yeah, absolutely. And so from that standpoint, feel free to hit our website, gotrellis.com. So it's gotrellis.com. If you want to book some time with me, you can go to gotrellis.com/live, and that will
actually put it in the description for people to find it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So gotrellis.com/live, that will actually get you a meeting time directly with me. And I'm happy to talk to you about the strategies. Happy to help.
VIP treatment.
it was really funny. I was talking to someone a couple of days ago, and they're like, yeah, I actually got your phone number when you put it up on a slide at a conference. And is that your work number, your personal? I give my information out. I'm happy to talk to people. I'm happy to help. gotrellis.com/live will actually get you a booking link that goes directly onto my calendar. So happy to chat, happy to help, and happy to figure out and unlock your path to profitable success.
Awesome, Ali. So pleasure. Thank you as usual for all your knowledge. Looking forward to see you at upcoming events, bro. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Quite soon, man. We'll see you soon. Well, I'll find you in the world.
Yeah. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.